timers. So some of the guys, good to have Jay Boffman in and Scott from Greentown Baptist doing a great workout in Ohio. You're going to hear from Jay in just a moment. And looking forward to what God's going to do, building on what we've already yesterday, as we heard a good word from Pradeep yesterday morning. And then last night, Pradeep and Vinny really brought it in and helped us focus on really the heart of the plowman. We've been seeing that very clearly, and so it's exciting. This morning, we're going to continue that theme, and as we consider what God's calling each of us to do, for if you're a member of HBF, we got mission trips lined up here. We got things to do as soon as this coming weekend with the outreach that we're doing for Easter, and we got work to do. You know, there's always work to do in the ministry, and I can tell you, Jay Boffman's been about the work as long as I've known him. It's the work that's brought us together. And of course, Mike Blake also, the relationship king. But I'm really thankful that God has hooked us up, and Jay's doing a good work. He's sent out a First Baptist, is it First Bible or First Baptist Church of Jackson, Ohio, which is John Mark's sending church, to Malawi. And he's doing a good work in Greentown. I'm excited. They've been plowing the field there for 3 years now. And so it's not been that long, but God has really blessed them in a mighty way. So I've asked him to come this morning and just talk whatever God's given him on his heart about plowing the field. Give him some love as he comes and speak to us this morning.
So Kansas City Baptist Temple came to the First Baptist Church of New Philadelphia, taught us things. First Baptist Church of New Philadelphia sent out the First Baptist Church of Jackson in 2000, and I was a part of that migration where God wanted his name to dwell. And so we went up to an area in the Canton, Ohio area called Jackson Township. And then 22 years later, COVID made us grow. We won't go into all that, but we took some bold stands and just kept preaching the word. And so people came. They were looking for that. And so we grew to the place. We were doing two services to keep everybody safe. And we grew and realized we're not going to fit back together when we want to go back to one service. So the idea of going, which we should have had in our minds all along. In fact, we were pretty slow coming to that conclusion, but we planted the Greentown Baptist Church. Now, we did something kind of unheard of from the beginning, and it was, how many do you seat in here, Pastor?
280.
Jack, FBCJ is about 400-ish. You never get that many people in there, but we took 101 adults with us, which is an unheard of church plant. So we started the ground running with a lot of people, but a fourth of the membership came with me over to this place. I tried all this not to be distracting, and that's okay. It is what it is. And since we have been there, a lot of people said, oh, you had a church split. You had a fight. They do not understand how you can split like that and do it nice and do it well and do it for the glory of God. In 3 years, we brought 101 adults with us. We have lost a few, but we have gained a lot. We have 185 members now in 3 years, and that's a blessed plow. God has blessed the work where we're at. In 3 years, we just compiled these numbers last month for our third-year anniversary. We've had 137 professions of faith, 56 baptisms. This is a crazy number, 886 first-time visitors, 886 people through our doors for a first time. And why aren't we humongous? Why don't they all stay? Because not everybody likes what we're given. Honestly, a lot of people come in and they you can just see it in their eyes. You all are far too serious about what you do. We just want to come to church. And then we presently, and we've been around the 150 mark on this, but have 146 people involved in one-on-one discipleship relationships. So a lot of that personal touch going on during the week. And what's kind of interesting is we're not really geared. Some churches, every church is different in the field that God's put you in the plow. I don't get all that, but all I know is we're kind of a middle-of-the-road church, meaning we don't necessarily gear to college students or super young people or old people. We have a 93-year-old guy in our church that started coming, and he was Methodist before and just has been convicted about different things. He's now read through his Bible twice since he's been with us, never read his Bible before. He went to the Methodist church in town, and they're like, why aren't you coming anymore? He goes, because they're teaching me the Bible. He says, I've learned more in a year or two than I learned in 40 years here with you all. Like, you told them that? They're actually really nice, you know, to him still. And but we baptized him. We got him up, and because one day he watched us baptizing and heard the explanation. He says, he came forward at the end. He says, I need to do that, don't I? And I said, you do. He's being discipled. He's 93. Amen. He has still found purpose in his life in this world. And he's actually sees it more than he ever has. And he's a cookie maker. He's a great cookie maker. It's one of his ministries. He brings cookies. We were talking about how the average lifespan is 70 years. And you think about where you are in that scale. I'm at 55, and I will be shortly. And I think it's 83%. When you start thinking that way, and then I'm telling the church that a few weeks ago, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, I said it. I shouldn't have said it. I thought it, but I said, Grandpa, you're on borrowed time. And he knows it, and he's using this time well. And then and again, I'm going to finish this section here in a moment. I just want you to know God really has blessed our plow, and I just give him the praise. It's for his glory. He wanted his name to dwell where we went, and it's there. But we have seven guys that believe they have a full-time call to ministry, and that's just kind of developed through time. And the youngest is 16. And he is like on fire. I want to do it now. I want to go now. And 2 years ago, he was lost. He didn't even want to come in the building. His family was coming. They were excited about the Lord. We finally got him in. He came. Mike, it was at your camp that you preached last summer that he found the call of God on his life to preach. And he's like, how can you get me there fast? And I said, God doesn't do fast. Just cool your jets. And, but we're putting them in places that, and so, amen. It's a fertile field, and that's what you want to find. And so, when Pastor asked me to preach this, oh, let me say this. This is great. Yesterday I told Grandpa that I was coming out to talk to you guys and what the topic was going to be. And he said, he's got a garden. He does cookies and gardening. And so he brings over all kinds of stuff in the summer. He lives right across from our building. And I've got bags by my car. But I said, you know about planting and soil and growing. And I said, that's really not my thing. And he said, my garden is God's garden. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, I don't do a lot extra. He said, I don't put fences up, and I watch deer walk through my garden and not eat. I watch groundhogs should be eating all my stuff up, and they don't. And when I planted, I just said, God, this is your garden. Do with it what you want. And it just grows. And again, fertile field. I said, I might share that story. So I just did. Now, when I was thinking about this topic, if you want fertile soil, pick fertile soil. If you want to plow in a fertile field, pick a fertile field. Go over to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 20. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So looking back, I don't know how we necessarily struck gold. I'm going to explain to you a few ideas I have on it, but one was when we started looking where should we plant a church, we looked in a place where there was no church like us. Now, that's not hard to do, right? How many Bible preaching, disciple-making, worldwide vision churches are there out there? A lot of churches playing church, playing games, but not a lot of that. But we picked two areas where we had a lot of people coming from, and in those two areas, we looked at what other Baptist churches were around, and the area that we ended up landing in, there was only one other Baptist church, and so I did a little research on them, and they were Calvinist. I mean, hardcore. Everything about on their website was Calvinistic, and I'm like, yes, because we are not the same. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we are now the only Baptist church in the township area that we are, because that one has since closed. So I'm really excited about that as well. Get them out of. And then the other direction we were looking at had two Baptist churches, and God kept opening the door there. We had one of the Baptist churches there we just contacted because they looked like they weren't doing well. And the guy said, he's part-time. He said, yeah, we're not doing well. He says, I think we're going to close within the next 6 months, and we'll just give you the keys. I'm like, Lord, it is you. This is you. And then that door closed. And I remember saying to God, I thought you wanted us to go. I thought you wanted us to do this, and this was perfect. And as soon as that door closed clearly, the door in where we are now, Greentown, opened. And it stayed open, and it never closed. And what I made of that was when God wants you to go and be somewhere, he will make that very clear, and he will keep that open, and don't you ever forget it. You know? So we're in this place now. We picked it because of those things that we weren't going to be working where anybody else was working. We do have a lot of Mennonite churches around us, and so that's our competition. But, you know, they make good brownies and stuff, but we got better stuff. But I never really thought about the idea of fertile ground or not fertile ground. And then I started to look at and think about countries. And I know, like, Malawi, where you guys are going, very fertile. God's moving. I know the Philippines is still very fertile. I know Liberia, Africa, where I've been a few times, very fertile. I know Europe is not very fertile. Europe is very hard ground, and Mike's going to talk about that tomorrow, the hard ground and plowing it up. And so I began to think, maybe there is fertile places we can pick to go. God wants us to go everywhere, but maybe there are certain places like that. And I started thinking back in the Old Testament where God wanted the nation of Israel to go to his place, but it was a place he kept saying, flowing with milk and honey. It was fertile. Go to the place that I have for you, that I have things. I mean, it's going to be better than you ever thought. And so God wanted those, his people who had it, to go to follow him and take him there and make a place where his name could dwell there. And so that's where they went. Now, again, how many Bible preaching, disciple making, worldwide vision churches are there out there? Even in your area, how many are there? I've always said if you take a dart and throw it at a map, and you don't land on water, it's probably a good place to start a church, right? But there are more fertile places than others. But be reminded, we have the Bible. Amen. We have it. We just got to preach it. Amen. And you know, what makes us different is when we get up, we preach it with power. Amen. Because we believe it that way. We don't believe it has to be the easiest to read. We believe it has to be the most powerful book. Right. And that's what sets us apart. Disciple making. Now, I was on vacation about 2 weeks ago, and I always, when I go on vacation, I do pray this: God, I don't want to be on vacation from you. So I need a break. I need to not be thinking about the daily stuff, but whatever you want to do, do. And we were 3 days in, and it was nice, but I prayed that morning. I said, God, do something today. And just do something. Show me that why you have us here, even though we're on a break. And so we were kind of laying out in the sun, and there was a couple next to us, and we began talking. And before long, you could just tell they were believers. And that's what I said. I said, are you all believers? And they said, yes. And then we began to talk about church, and they told me they were here. They were there at this place from the Nazarene denomination, and they had they were part of a group. Well, let me get to that place. But they were Nazarenes, and they were all gathering together, and they said, so what's your church like? And we told them, and then they said, do you have life groups? I said, no, we don't have that yet. We've thought about that, but we've just got a lot going on. I said, but we do have one-on-one discipleship. And that kind of gets a lot of the personal touches with our people and other people through the week beyond something that Life Groups tries to accomplish. And they were like zoned in at that point. And they said, this group that we're here with, the Nazarenes, our group is called Exponential. Because within the Nazarene denomination, our focus is on discipleship. I said, really? And they're like, tell us more about this one-on-one. So we just started sharing, and I'm telling you, it was weird. But God reminded me, I prayed that he would do something. I'm like, I don't we're not like Nazarenes. Now, we do have the same gospel, but they believe you can lose your salvation. I mean, I know the differences. So we're talking, and they said this, it gets creepier. You're going to maybe count me out as I keep telling you this, but did I not pray that morning? God, do something. They're like, would you be willing to meet with our pastors? I'll just tell you, we were on a cruise. Up for lunch and just tell them what you've told us. And I'm like, well, yes, okay, I'll do that. They were ladies. I'm you're Baptist people. Let's bow our heads and then you can just exit. So we get up there and these ladies are there and listen, I get it. And I'm not condoning anything, but I do know what happens in the Bible when men don't do what men are supposed to do and whatever. We talk to them and we've helped other churches kind of try and understand the discipleship concept through time. But I'm talking to these pastors, ladies, and they were getting it. And I said, now you can't use the material that we use because we're not doctrinally the same. And they said, we understand. So we're not far off, but what could you do? And again, I could tell this couple was saved just by talking to them. So they do reach some people. But what they said to me was really incredible. They said, this is what we've been looking for. Like, we're on this cruise trying to talk through stuff, and then God brings you to share with us how to do it. Bible preaching, we've got the book. Disciple making, I'm telling you, most places don't get it. They're afraid. They're afraid to do it. They don't understand. Letting your people teach other people the Bible, that's scary. Well, it takes time to get to that place and build that culture. And then worldwide vision, church. So we started in March of 2022, and in May of 2022, through strange circumstances, so 2 months after we started, and I'm ready to pull my hair out just because there's so much going on. I had to go to Liberia on a trip. I'm like, I don't want to go to Liberia, Lord. There's so much to do here. But there was no way I could get out of it. I had to go. So we packed our bags. We went over to Liberia. And God just did a great thing. And you know what God showed me? Is you got to continue to see the world. Do not get stuck in your little place and think this is the only place that matters and this is the only. See the world. I think because of that attitude, we got the Bible, we got a discipleship mindset of growing people, and never forgetting to see the whole world and be a part of it, never getting too comfortable. Those are things that God uses to make your ground fertile. That's just what He does. Because there aren't too many of us out there like that. So here's the question. Do you have that kind of a mentality? You've got the Bible, you've got discipleship, you've got... I think sometimes we get too much into gimmicking up Christianity. And it doesn't need to be gimmicked up. Stick to the book. Stick to making disciples and go to the world. That's it. It's simple. It works. That's what we're designed for. That's why it works. That's, I think, in time what makes any field fertile. So are you one of those churches, which again, that's why we're here, because you are. But are you? Do you see it that way? Or are you just a part of something big that you're on the outside of? Are you a part of it? If you are, treasure it for and use it for the glory of God, because we are few and far between. Amen? Okay. Now, two more thoughts. The second thought I have is, even with fertile soil, it still work. It still work. Part of the curse, you got to work the ground by the sweat of the brow. Turn over to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Nothing negates the work. Numbers 13, verse 21. All right, we're going to read a little bit here. Again, I could just quote this, but isn't it so good just to go to the Word of God and let it do its thing? Most of you know the story. So they went up. Now, this is when God said, I want you to go in this land that I've made for you. It flows with milk and honey. It is fertile. Go. That should be all that we need, right? But they sent spies in to look at it. We know there were 12, and this is the story, verse 21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob. They looked over all the land that was supposedly fertile. Men came to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshi, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. You pastors, please forgive me for the way I pronounce all those. I'm not good at that. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came to the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between the two upon a staff. I would say that's pretty fertile for grapes. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes with which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came to the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. It is fertile, and this is the fruit of it. Look, nevertheless, the people be strong. But there's a big but. But the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of to the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, I love it, man. It's like a Mike Blake or a Brian Hedges. They stood up and said, no, Caleb. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched the children of Israel, saying, the land which thou have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants. Notice all the focus on the negative. There was giants, the sons of Anak, the son of giants, and it just goes on and on and on. Listen, fertile soil still takes work. There's still giants. There's still things you've got to overcome. There's no going around it. You guys know the story, right? Even after the 40 years, because God punished them and said, okay, then you're not going in. But when they did get the opportunity to go in, what did God tell Joshua in Joshua 1? Be of good courage. Be strong. I've said I'm giving it to you. I'll be with you whithersoever you go with. But it's still going to be work. And that's the whole book of Joshua, the work that it took to establish it there. So it's still work. It's still work to preach this old book. It's still work to write messages from this book, isn't it? Don't you wish it was just easy? I wish it didn't take time. We're in our Bible Institute, we're teaching them how to preach right now. And some of them are extra gifted. And I said, even if you're gifted at teaching and preaching the Bible, it does not negate the time. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So even in fertile soil, it still takes work with the book. And we know this is where the magic happens. It still takes work to make disciples, doesn't it? Discipleship is very messy. It is a messy business. I like the main passage we'll look at, and you know this, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast committed unto me, the same commit to faithful men. But then verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. It's a hard work. It's a hard journey. It's not. This is why a lot of pastors and churches don't do it. It's work. And then it's work to organize, connect to the world, and go to the world. It's work. We get on these trips, and you've got, sometimes you got to take care of your health concerns. They're very costly. It's a disruption to the work that we have going on here. It's still worth it. It's work. So even with fertile soil, it's still work. It's costly, but I will tell you this, it's worth every penny. And there are giants, yes, there are, but we can't get distracted. And that's the encouragement that God gave to Joshua should be our encouragement. Be strong. don't you have to lift weights and work out? Yes, be strong. Do what it takes to be strong and of good courage, for God is with you wherever you go. Last point I want to give you this morning that God gave me. If you can't pick fertile soil, so if you can't do any of this, maybe you're just supposed to go somewhere that's rough, maybe the Middle East, maybe to Europe. If you can't pick fertile soil, make it fertile. Make it fertile. And I want to go to Luke 13 on this. Make it fertile. Luke 13, verse 6. And he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, but found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Again, this is a story, but it's illustrative. And I found none, cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto them, Lord, let it alone this year also, give it another year till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So we're told when you come to a place that is not fertile, dung it. Get in there and make it a little stinky. Do some stuff that may be stinky and dirty and gross to everybody around, but in the end, it may make it fertile and it may grow. So work it. Work it. And again, that's exactly what it is when you go into a field like that and you're doing stuff. It smells. It's not, I mean, do you think about why God does what he does? It's not attractive, but it has fruit in the end. And so in our field, even though I didn't know it was fertile. I didn't know this was going to happen. And perhaps maybe this point is why it is happening. But we've done some work at our local festivals. I know early on when we had no money, they're like, Pastor, I got a guy in charge of evangelism, and he's like, this festival, they need $500 for a booth. And he goes, I just don't think we should do it. And I'm like, we will find $500. We're going to put a booth in that festival. And we've tried to I mean, youth camp. We charge our kids what it costs to go, but it always costs the church like around $10,000. It's worth every penny. It's worth every penny because we're trying to make the soil better. Special events that we're invited to. We've been putting floats and parades and, again, camp and VBS. We make them a big deal. Why? We're trying to make the field more fertile. And we go to these festivals and parades and spend all day talking to people and engaging people and trying to be creative. This year we're doing some things different. We're going to open a prayer section to our tent. We've been doing face painting and, you know, we're just trying. Why? Because God said to work the field and make it fruitful, right? So now, with all that being said, there's a time I used to go to the mall and witness. Our youth go and do that. We do that to make it fertile. I remember Pastor Tom, when he was training me, your pastor, he said that, you know, we go give hands, we hand out tracts and all that, and we've not hardly seen any results, hardly ever. But he said, it just makes our field a little more fertile. That's what he said, and that's what put this in my mind. And so we've been doing it too, and again, it's a lot of effort with very little back to us, but we're publishing the gospel, and I think of Psalm 68:11, right, where it says, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it. That's what we need to do, just get out, publish it. But we received a letter last fall, just in our email, they sent it blankly to the church, and here's what it said. Good evening. I'm not sure who to send this email to, but I wanted to thank the man that prayed with my husband last summer at the Main Street Festival. I've been praying for my husband for almost 10 years that he would find Christ and accept him into his heart, and he did with one of you that day. Amen. Exclamation point. Ever since then, he is a completely different person. He now loves going to church with me and praising God. I can't thank you enough for the peace that I now have that he will be with me and our children in heaven one day. You will never know how grateful I am for you that took the time to pray with him. And I read this to our church, and I just said, listen, I know some of our efforts don't seem like they do anything, but they are worth it. Amen. We didn't even get this person. It was a fish that we caught for another, but it still was worth it. It was worth it. Amen. And so when your field is not fertile, work to make it fertile. Just keep working. Now, I'm going to end on this. I think I'm within my time, yeah? Okay. So I dabbled in this, so I want to throw these out to you, okay? I did a Google search. You know AI, they tell you everything now. So what makes soil more fertile? And they popped back to me three things. And the invisible things of the creation teach us things. So here's what AI says about making soil more fertile. Increase organic matter. You want to make your soil more fertile? Increase organic matter. Well, you're going to get different ones. Is that what you just did, sir? Oh, I did it a couple times and I got different lists, but this was the one I liked. Increase organic matter. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Increase that in your area. The second thing that it said was minimize disturbances to the soil, even over plowing. You know, there's a balance to find in making soil more fertile. You don't want to overdo things. Find the right balance. You know, even in a church, there's a fragile ecosystem in a church. Pastors, don't overdo things where sometimes we can be so aggressive and we just shake it up too much. The ground is that way too. So find a good balance in how that you do it. Philippians 4:5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Find that middle area to keep everything healthy. And then the last thing, so increase organic matter, minimize disturbances to the soil. And then the last one is rotate your crops and species. And we've always known that every 7 years, right? There's Bible principles about that. And here's what we do as churches. We have routines. We have things we always do, and routine is not bad. Mike Blake, routine is not bad. My friend and I are so opposite, you know, we were a good balance for each other. Routine is not bad, but over time, monotony brings religiosity. So you gotta keep things fresh, even in the way that you're trying to make a field more fertile. And so that is it this morning. Plowing the fertile field. When you want fertile soil, pick fertile soil. And the second point I had was, even in fertile soil, it still works. And the third point, if you can't pick fertile soil or it's not fertile soil, make it fertile. Work hard at it. So, do you want me to pray or just leave? All right. Oh, God, thank you for making things simple for us. We have soil all around us. I think it's kind of crazy how it's so easy for us to go to the store and just buy things. But we are out here in the middle of farmland. But you teach us so much from just the creation around us. We know if we were going to plant something, we would seriously look for a good place to plant. And Lord, if we were given land somewhere and it was not good soil, we would make it fertile. So these things are not rocket science. And I just thank you for bringing it to us this morning. And Lord, I pray that if anything was needed to be said or heard, or even the way you speak to us with that still small voice, that we would have heard it this morning. We do what you want us to do. You deserve the most glory, Lord, the most fruit. And we're just a part of that process. And we give you glory today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Look at Jay go. After all that difficulty, and he still brought it in on time and under budget, man. He should be in construction. That was excellent. And so, anyway, praise the Lord. That was a couple of those things that he was just resonated with me out of that session. There's a lot, actually. That was good. It kind of tied in with what Vinny said yesterday about it. There's work. You know, that's the reoccurring thing that keeps coming up too. Is like, if you're going to be successful in farming, Doug, is there any work involved with farming? I mean, we got a guy with a PhD, in fertile fields right here. And so, don't be intimidated, but, He's just grading all of us. But this discussion, that's so good, Jay. You know, one of the things that popped out to me about making it fertile. You know, I'm not like a green thumb, and I've overdone it. I put too much fertilizer on at times, and then I've overplowed all the things you talked about. I'm talking about physically, but I'm also spiritually, I'm sure. So, you know, I just was thinking about that, but I was also thinking to encourage those that maybe get discouraged sometimes over, you know, things that don't seem to be going your way, or wondering if that person's ever going to get saved, or what about my neighborhood? You know, I'm afraid to go to my neighborhood. Those people won't receive me. I'm going to get rejected. First of all, it's not about us. We know that, but also I like that principle of the dung, and you got to dung it, and then the decomposition of organic material. And you can even see it like in our contemporary culture. There's only so much isms. I was thinking in just a word, you can just put any word and then put the ism after it for the most part. You know, humanism, Marxism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, the ism, humanism. And if you let that go long enough, it's going to decompose and people get sick of it and it starts to stink. You know, there's only one Jesus. There's only one gospel. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And so, you know, that's why we have to be about the business of plowing and going out with the word, because over time people get all the glamour of this world. It just decomposes. You know, all that's natural starts to stink, and we need something supernatural, and that's the word of God. And man, it's just so obvious. It doesn't take long. If you give everybody what they want, it's only going to take, you know, 4 years, and man, that starts stinking, doesn't it? That didn't operate right. That doesn't work right. Everything that they thought was going to be utopia is all upside down backwards, right? Yeah. You know, the university, man. What are they teaching them there? They're teaching a bunch of isms where you're going, man. And they're going to be ready. It's going to be stinking up in there. And that seed's going to drop in and bam. You know, it's going to be amazing. So I'm excited. Anyway, it's going to be good. Well, I'm not up here to preach. These guys are. So hope that encouraged you. Let's do this. Let's have a break. And love God, love people. We'll come back at what's my schedule say here? We're going to be back in here, Lord willing. I'll have to yell at you to get you back at 10:15. Try to make it a short break and get some more coffee, tea, milk, cookies, whatever. And we'll have Blade Spees is going to be up here 10:15-ish.